I caught myself just all of a sudden smiling, and 30 seconds later I was crying, and I didn't know why. I still don't know why. It's just a part of it, just being present, I guess. I really needed time to think about my situation and find acceptance. For many years, I kept it in a distance just by work, work, work. One of the things that really makes the Camino so great is if you're able to put this one in your backpack, turn it off so you don't have to put everything out on the social media. Just do it for you, not for everybody else.
Hi, everybody, and welcome one more time to El Camino People, the podcast. We are back with this new season, and we have a lot of interesting pilgrims, a lot of interesting projects to share with you about the people that walks the Camino, because as we truly believe, the most important part of the Camino is the people that walk it, the stories that they carry, and the stories that we carry with them. So today we are going to be interviewing a pilgrim that has become a friend. We met through another friend that has a great project in the Camino, bringing people to walk the Camino for a cause. We will go right into it, and let me introduce you to Thomas. Hi, Thomas. Nice to have you here, and nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, Jose, and thank you for letting me join this podcast.
Thank you for staying here. As you can see, Thomas is having a t-shirt over there that I always seen, and they have another one like that. But we will talk about that in a few minutes. So first question that I always ask everybody, how and when did you find out about the Camino de Santiago?
Well, I saw a post on Facebook about 4 or 5 years ago about veterans on the Camino, bringing veterans, Army, Air Force veterans to the Camino just to find peace, giving them time to think about their situation. A lot of people who join veterans on the Camino are suffering from PTSD or anxiety, stuff like that. So it was a great project for me to join, since I suffer from PTSD myself.
So I'm so glad to meet you. So for the ones that don't know, we interview Brad. Brad is the founder of Veterans in the Camino. He's a veteran himself, and a long time ago, many years ago, he walked the Camino and he found out that it was something that helped him through his PTSD, through his life, and he created this amazing nonprofit where he brings veterans from all over the world. There's another nonprofit that they do it with veterans just from the United States, but in this case, Veterans for the Camino is different because you walk the whole Camino, and you are from all over the world, no?
Yeah, it's all the coalition forces who the United States have joined forces with in Iraq, Afghanistan, wherever in the world. So we invite all the coalition soldiers to apply.
So did you know about the Camino prior, or something that never came to your mind? Like, you are originally from?
I'm from Denmark.
Yeah. Denmark. So something that came when you were a kid or even with friends or?
No, well, I heard about it some years ago. An old colleague did the Camino, but I didn't really think much about it. But, being through a hard time over a couple of years with the PTSD, and this just showed up. And it seemed like the perfect time for me to apply.
So what is a lot of people with the PTSD, there's a lot of unknown about the PTSD. What does a PTSD mean, or what a person that is having PTSD suffers through the normal day?
Well, it's short for post-traumatic stress disorder. It affects people in various ways. Myself, it just gives me a lack of energy. I don't have energy to do much. I'm part-time mm-hmm. retired now. I'm not able to do a full day's work because my mind just gets overloaded. Mm-hmm. So I need peace and quiet.
Okay, so that's what called you from the veterans from the Camino, the quiet and the peace from the Camino de Santiago.
Well, I think I really needed time to think about my situation and maybe find acceptance of my situation, because for many years I kept it in a distance just by work, mm-hmm. As many hours a day. But well, eventually you just run out of energy. Yeah. And that affects you, your family, your kids, everybody around you get affected by it. So yeah, I really needed some time to think and just find out what is happening.
So then suddenly one day you're on Facebook losing the time like we all do, just going through stuff and crap, and then you find out of Veterans of the Camino. What would that post say? What were they promoting on?
I really don't remember how that ad came up, but I just saw it and I talked to my ex-wife about, we were still married at that time, and we had a conversation about it, because I tried like therapy and stuff like that, medicine, and they did all they could, and I got all the benefits from my therapy and treatments, but it just didn't seem to be enough. So yeah, we talked about it and we agreed on, well, why not just send an application? Because at some point you just get desperate to go back to normal. Well, I found out that this is the new normal. It's just a part of life. Yeah.
Then would you apply for the program? How does for people that don't know, for veterans that are listening, how does the program work, or how do you apply? Or
well, once a year on veteransonthecamino.com, you can get an application form that you fill out, and then you get contacted. And yeah, and people go through phone interviews and written application and stuff like that. And there's a committee who selects the participants.
Then suddenly people from all over the world, you get together and you start walking the Camino.
Yeah, that's basically it. Veterans on the Camino, yeah. It's a program. We don't really like guide people through the Camino. We just remove the bumps on the road, like how to plan your travels to Spain and how to get started. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit, because a lot of people, they think, you know, the programs, a lot of the different programs that go into the Camino, they go with schedule, they go with a plan, they go with reservations. Because I know the Veterans of the Camino rules are a little different. So tell us a little bit about how the Camino goes for the Veterans in the Camino.
Well, we have three basic rules on Veterans in the Camino. We don't make any reservations for accommodation. Mm-hmm. We have to carry our backpack all the way, and we don't use any other transportation than our feet.
Sometimes you do, and there is proof of that.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, if the founder finds out, you're out of the program. So
I think that's the way, because, you know, if you listen to Brad's podcast, that was what was important from him, and he believes that the way he did it is the way that everyone should do it, and I agree 100% with him, you know. And if things happen, of course you're open, but I think those three rules kind of like put you in the mood to follow that. No, if there's a rule, and as soldiers, you know, it's more like, oh, if I have this rule, I have to follow the rule. This there for a reason. No,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
it gives you that frame for the to follow and to complete what, you know, the transformation that happens within you when you do that Camino the way.
Yeah, it's about not having the ability to take any shortcuts, I think. Because a lot of people, they have a tendency to, like, well, it's raining and storming today. I really don't want to. I could just, especially with the anxiety and the PTSD, all the new things that happens, because you, well.
That's the process, no? I guess once you have that rule, it's like, okay, I trust this is going to happen eventually. And I agree, like probably the first days is struggle, but as you get into it, is a little easier, no?
Yeah. So yeah, of course, when we start in Saint-Jean or Pamplona, it varies where we start, but usually it's Saint-Jean or Pamplona as a starting point. Arriving there, you picking us up at the train station. from that on, that's the last time for almost 40 days that we go faster than about 7 or 8 kilometers an hour.
So let's go back to, you know, the veterans on the Camino has have many editions. There is, I don't know the number right now, we'll have to ask Brad, but let's go to your first Camino, your first veterans on the Camino. Then you start planning, suddenly you're traveling to Spain. How did it feel? Did you research? Did you try to do any research or just trust the process and say, you know, I'm going to Spain, I'm going to walk, let's see what happens?
Well, as my T-shirt said, I should have been walking in 2020 the first time. But, we got hit with the COVID and stuff like that. So, it was cancelled. And up to the spring 2020, I had been doing some training and stuff like that. So I was in shape. I was ready to go, really. Then it was cancelled. And then we tried to go in the fall of 2020. Well, COVID had still closed down the
again.
Yeah, Europe. So yeah, so I forgot to train. So and actually I forgot all about it because and suddenly Brad he wrote us and said, well, will you be ready for fall 2021? Yeah, well, let's see. I have to ask if I can get 40 days off work and stuff like that. And yeah, it was fine. Well, bought a ticket to Barcelona, train to Pamplona, and yeah, we just started. And I forgot all about training for almost 2 years. So it was a cold start. And yeah, I felt my body for the first 8 or 10 days.
So how was the waiting? You know, what's something that I guess you are wishing for, you really want to, and suddenly you have to wait for 2 years, kind of like, because the process is starting the beginning of 2020, sorry, and you ended up walking
actually
by 2021.
It started in 2019.
Wow.
The process, so it was a long haul up to that, so I kind of gave up on it. Didn't think it was going to happen because everything was just crazy with the COVID. And I looked up on some web pages and read about how things were on the Camino, and it was albergues shutting down, and it was difficult those 2 years, I guess, for everybody.
So, and suddenly, here's 2021, you have suddenly a group of people from all over the world that you don't know nothing about them, other than that, yeah, veterans like you, and suddenly you get together in Barcelona.
Yeah, we met with two Polish participants in Barcelona, and we went out getting to know each other the first night, and the next day we hooked up with the rest of the group, including the founder. And we got on the train to Pamplona.
And so yeah. How was the because I'm like, for a lot of people, you know, the day that you create your Camino family is kind of like, you know, you start picking the people, or the people choose you, or the Camino put the people in front of you. But in your case, you have that Camino family pre-made for you, no? How was the meeting other people that would like, you know, in the same situation as you?
I was excited about meeting them. Who are they? What are their backgrounds and stuff like that? And I was very excited to get to meet Brad, of course, the founder. He was a great mentor for the first couple of days. And the thing is, veterans on the Camino, well, every participant do their own Camino. So if you don't want to walk with the group, you just go off by yourself. So veterans on the Camino, well, we have the Camino family. It's not only people from the group. We hooked up with a lot of, I call it civilians, because we see ourselves as soldiers, right? Once a soldier, always a soldier. So all of a sudden, the group was split in two, and a very large Camino family. And I'm still in touch with a lot of the people, still writing, calling them a couple of times a year. So it's really nice.
And how is the first days? I believe probably, you know, I'm the lucky one that meets you all on the first day here in Pamplona and see the excitement in all of your faces, you know, all different sizes and shapes. And because, you know, I'm like from Canada, from Europe, from everywhere, all so different, but all with that soldier background. And suddenly here you are, you know, with the smile of an adventure, of a new journey and a new path. But how is the first days walking into, you know, that Camino that you've been planning? And in your case, you know, waiting for 2 years, how was the beginning?
It was tough. I didn't research the geography of northern Spain at all. So in my mind, I thought it was pretty flat. Well, I were in for a surprise, right? So
totally.
Yeah. I've been walking a lot through my career in the military and doing military marches, long distance marches. But the Camino is so different because you walk in another pace. I think I was lucky that my physical shape were still pretty good at that point. So I managed to get over the first 8 days without getting any injuries, though I didn't train for it at all. But I guess it's all about listening to your body and keeping the pace do it in your own pace and listen to your body.
How was the walking with the other veterans, you know, because they're all from different sides of the world, as you were saying, you know, different backgrounds, different stories in life?
It was joyful, and it was so nice to get to meet them. And the thing about the Camino, when you walk for that many days, you have the time to get to know each other and the time to really listen to people's stories. So it becomes family.
And the rest of the people, I'm like, when you see, you know, someone with the t-shirts, in your case, you know, you were saying you were a group at the beginning. How did the other pilgrims approach you? I'm like, when you see sometimes a group of pilgrims, you know, a church or a school or whatever, but in your case, you know, big guys all with the veterans, how did people approach you and what did they ask?
There's a lot of questions. A lot of people, they misinterpret the t-shirt. Because a lot of people think, well, they are veterans of the
Camino. Of the Camino.
Yeah, of the Camino.
Never thought about it, but it truly...
People who have done this for ages, many, many times, which is not the thing. Well, of course, some of Brad has done it, I think, 7 or 8 times. Mm. And I've been down there for the last 3 years now because it gets... addictive. The Camino is addictive. So yeah, but then when we tell about our the story about veterans in the Camino, we're always met with a positive mind. And I think that's one of the great things about the Camino. People are open. They might be there for different reasons, but the goal is the same. I think so. Yeah.
How was the process in your case? You know, you suddenly, here you are, through 2019, you apply for the program, 2020 didn't happen, 2021, here you walk in, and suddenly you're in Spain, you are walking. How was the first days of the walk for you?
Frightening, I think, because, I'm used to plan everything just to give me peace of mind at home with my challenges. So being there, not knowing where to sleep, how long, how far am I going to walk today? So it was pretty frightening, and it took some days to get used to that and accepting that I'm not always in control. But yeah, Brad, he kept saying, well, the Camino will provide. You might have to walk further than you thought. But yeah, we'll find a bed.
Yeah. Did you find a bed?
Yeah, we didn't have any problems at all. I'm following a lot of Facebook groups about the Camino, and everybody is, well, you have to book like 4 days ahead because there's no beds, and they post pictures of the shoes standing in line for like 100 meters and stuff. You have to start walking in the middle of the night just to get a bed. Well, I haven't experienced that at all. It might be a case in the summertime, but well, if you do a spring or a fall, I don't think it's...
Only there's more people in the Camino, really, in terms of the, at least here in Pamplona, you know, in the spring and in fall than in the summer. The numbers from the people starting from Roncesvalles and passing through Roncesvalles have dropped in the last 3 years. Okay. So it's one of the things that a lot of people think, you know, that the Camino Francés is growing. It's growing in the last case. Here in the first part, I'm like, I only know a couple of days, and that's because, you know, pilgrims, when they start in Saint-Jean, there's kind of waves because of the weekend, the people travel, you know, they get holidays a whole week. But other than that, as you were saying, if you are open to stay, I think the most relaxed area is the beginning of the Camino Francés. I'm like, other than the smaller Caminos, you're always going to have a spot to stay. There's not a problem at all.
Well, I haven't experienced problems. You might have to knock on a few doors at a few albergues to get the bed. But maybe the group won't be able to get beds at the same albergue, but finding room for six pilgrims is not a problem, my experience.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of people, they say that the first part of the Camino, you walk with, you know, with your body, then you start walking with your head, and then finally you walk with your soul. How was the process, you know, of switching for your stay at home, being, you know, stressed, worrying about things, to suddenly get into the Camino, as you were saying, you know, letting things go and focus on the walk?
Oh, it was, I think it was a long process for me, because I really didn't realize what happened until a couple of months after I got home. Of course, the first, well, week or two, you have to get your body adapted to this intense physical monotone work you're doing. And after that, well, you get the time to, what do you say, get to know people around you, and getting time to walk by yourself and just letting your thoughts flow in every which direction they want to. And it kind of just happens. I didn't notice, actually, because, well, of course, the first couple of days, I was just thinking about my aching body and will I be able to complete this crazy task? Yeah, but...
When do you think your body was finally in that mood? You know, a lot of people, they say that by the week, you know, by 10 days. And when do you think you were like already like, I can walk 500 miles or I can walk 1,000 miles?
I would say around Logroño or something like that. That's 8 days in, I think.
More or less, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the body had adapted and the metabolism had changed and, yeah, it just felt good.
And you say the body have adapted, but what about the mind? Was there any day, you know, a lot of people, they say the meseta, you know, with the mind, I think it's a little different. Everybody has their days off and off, but in your case, with everything that's going on through your body and your mind, did you have any days that were a challenge in the meseta with nothingness, just thinking or didn't happen?
Well, I heard a lot of, about the meseta, that it was just hard work, and but really it was one of the best parts of the Camino to me, because you don't get distracted from the beautiful views and all the villages and the cafes and stuff like that. It was all about just being in the moment on the meseta, and yeah, one step at a time, and let the mind flow. So I think it's fantastic.
I agree. I think the meseta is one of the best parts, is when you say you have nothing really other than yourself and the nothingness. I'm like, yes, for the good and for the bad. I'm like, but it has to happen.
Yeah. But all the emotions you have, you just have to accept them, because I caught myself just all of a sudden smiling, and 30 seconds later I was crying, and I didn't know why. I still don't know why. It's just a part of it. Just being present, I guess.
Embrace it, no, and just go through it and let it go.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And then as how was the you know, we were talking that you were a bunch of veterans. How many people did start in your group?
Oh, in 2021, I think we were 6 or 7. I really can't remember. And
were you like a whole group through the whole Camino? Was a part when you guys broke up? How did you go the routine?
We split up around Lyon, I think, and we were separated into three groups, walking with our new Camino family or by ourselves. So yeah, but yeah, we kept within like 1 or 2 days between us, so we always knew where each other were and able to help each other. It was just a matter of one of the groups maybe picking up pace, or one of the groups just spend an extra night in a place and we could meet up. Yeah.
Was there any struggles? Was there something that, you know, you can share with us, any stories of the other veterans that were struggling or not, or having a great time, or everybody was kind of like on the same mood and pace?
Well, the walking pace were different for each of us, and that's, I think that's why we split up, actually, because I walk in a pretty fast pace, and a couple of the other guys were doing a bit slower and over, mm-hmm. over 10, 15 days. You have to do it in your own pace, and that splits it up. So, yeah, and one of the Polish guys, he had really, really bad feet. I haven't seen anything like that. Before, so but he was a strong and stubborn guy, so yeah. Of course he made it, because he decided that he would make it.
So that's all. Sometimes, you know, pain is there, and you have to, yes, I would say enjoy it in a way, or embrace it. But some other times you have to be able to say, you know, this pain is not, I need to go home, and I will come back eventually. And that's a decision that only you can make. There's no right or wrong in the Camino. It's just you with yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Because, yeah, of course, if you get a medical issue, of course you have to consult a doctor and kind of let them decide for you what to do. Because well, there's no reason to harm yourself doing it. It's not that important.
And then the Camino will always be there for you. If you need, you know, a year, a month, whatever, just the Camino is going to be there.
Exactly. And yeah, as we've said before, the Camino provides, and it'll provide you not what you think you need, but what you... So...
What you really need in that moment. And that's one of the things that I think some people, you know, with the amount of people, I'm one of them that usually try not to give too much advice to people, but there's so much... advice, so many YouTubers, so many blogs, that you have those expectations that sometimes if you have to quit or if you have to take a day off or even if you have to send your backpack ahead, it's your own Camino. Take the decision based on your own. If you are doing it, I'm like, there's not right or wrong. You are only cheating to yourself. So if it's not cheating, you're going to feel right no matter what.
Yeah. I think you're right. If you do it as a private person and not within a program like we do, because to us, there's our way of doing it. But of course, we accept.
And you have to follow those rules because you accept those rules to go into the program. That's the rule. I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
But so you can decide to take it easier. Like, nobody says that you can just walk 5-10K one day.
Then you do that.
You do it.
Yeah. And it's because it is your Camino. And it is so individual. Also, what people want to get out of it, the benefits of it, is different from person to person. And I'm not a religious person, so that aspect of it never crossed my mind. But I've walked a lot of kilometers with very religious people, and I totally understand their perspective on it, but that it's more spiritual and physical.
That's what I love about the Camino de Santiago. You know, you can, that there is something in between. Even if you are not the spiritual, there is a spiritual side of it. You can call it whatever, you know, but the beauty of it, and so many people from different backgrounds all together, just, you know, with that walking together, sharing a story, sharing your suffering, your happiness, your beer, your lunch, your dinner with the person next to you. I'm like, there's no other place in the world that something like that can happen.
No, it's just fantastic. And I think that's why a lot of people just keeps returning. Because it's hard to get home after 30, 40 days of walking. It leaves a lot of emptiness in you.
And as you were walking, getting closer to Santiago, how was the feeling? You know, because a lot of people, when they get closer to Santiago, is like, okay, I'm getting to the place where, you know, the goal, but also this amazing journey is getting to an end.
Well, I think... I started to walk a bit slower because I really didn't want it to end in one way. And on the other hand, I missed my children. So I wanted to get home and just give them a big hug and just, be with them. So it was two sides to it, but yeah, the easy living in the Camino, because it's the daily routines, it's just no worries. You know what to do and you get your routines and and that
the simplicity and the waking up, coffee, breakfast, walk, chat with people, beer, sour, clean, dinner, relax, repeat.
And that's just to me, that was just fantastic. And it's a thing you can't do in your personal life, make it that easy. I think much too many impressions and thing you have to attend to all the time. So
was there any days that was a struggle for you, like during the whole Camino? that you can remember, or really everything has kind of become, you know, more like friendly?
Oh, I really have to think. I think one of the biggest struggles were we had just walked into Galicia, and my knee started to acting up. I was having a, yeah, we were done walking for the day, and I was sitting in Albergue, and I just sitting relaxing, and I stood up, and my knee just snapped. It was like a crack in the knee, and it hurt like hell. It was like, I don't know, 300 kilometers before Santiago. And I was thinking, am I able to finish this now, or is this just it? So, well, I went to a pharmacy and bought a brace and some ibuprofen, and, well, one step at a time. And some days later, sitting on the beach in Finisterre. Yeah.
So how was the you know, the final days, the arrival into Santiago?
Well, my expectations was that it was going to be very emotional arriving in Santiago, but it was actually okay, now we're here. And I think it was because we always say we have to walk to the end of the world. So, mm-hmm. So for us, Finisterre is the end of the trip. So all the emotions that I had expected to get in Santiago, they came in Finisterre instead. I know it's not Camino de Santiago, but Camino Finisterre. But that was very emotional, sitting there with the group of veterans and some of the civilians that became a part of the family, sitting on the beach, watching the sunset, drinking a beer, and just, yeah, being quiet and crying a bit. it's a great achievement to everyone who does. So that's one part of it, but all the emotions, you have to say goodbye to these 30, 40 days of easy living. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really something.
And, you know, for a lot of people, we always ask the question, you know, what changed in you from the day you start, and what changed, you know, till the day you finish? But in your case, you know, with the whole PTSD and everything, did you see any change right away, or was it still something that, as you were saying at the beginning, took you a longer time to process?
I think I really don't know about the change. It was the acceptance of, this is how my mind works now. Listen to my thoughts and listen to my body. When do I have energy, and when haven't I got the energy to be around people? Because that's one of my issues. I can't stand too many people around me. And people say, but how can you do the Camino? Because there's always people around you.
But it's different.
But it's your own decision, because you can just nod and say, buen Camino, and just look down or away, and people accept that if you're not open for a conversation in that moment. People just walk on, and if you start a conversation and people want to talk, you talk. And it's not like you have to tell people that you don't want to talk right now. It's just, you can see them on the pilgrim next to you. Well, he needs to be by himself or herself now. And that's just, that's great. The acceptance of all the differences people have.
And then you finish the Camino, suddenly you are back home. What happened? Because for a lot of people, that's the biggest struggle, the going back to the everyday life, no?
Yeah, it was hard. Well, the first couple of days, I didn't really, it was because I just, my son and daughter came and we spent a couple of days together. And then the everyday life started, work, bills, all of those things. And that was really hard. And I started planning my next Camino right away. Yeah.
And were you planning about doing the another Camino one by yourself, or the whole thing of going, you know, becoming part of Veterans on the Camino and a more active, more, you know, helping them?
At the beginning, I think I was just, I'm going by myself. But Brad, he reached out to me and asked me if I could help out and be lead for a new group in 2022. I talked with my my boss, and he said, "Well, we can give you 2 weeks off," and those 2 weeks I gave to Brad, and yeah. All of a sudden, I was there as the experienced guy. And yeah, so I really didn't have to plan the Camino because it planned itself. Yeah.
Camino provides us sometimes, as we were saying in the beginning, sometimes what you needed, sometimes what you wouldn't think it, but suddenly here you are. And yeah. How was the change of being, you know, the beginning of 2021, you were part of the group, suddenly here you are 2022, you are kind of like the leader of the non-leaded group, but you were there in a different way, seeing the Camino instead of through your eyes, through the eyes of others.
Oh, it was really a challenge to me because taking on the responsibility of a lot of the planning, getting the group to meet in Barcelona and getting everybody to Saint-Jean. That was a big challenge. Luckily, I've been working with logistics a lot of my career, so it came natural once I got started on it. I think I overplanned everything.
Hear that, the no-so-planning, suddenly over-planning things.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it worked out fine. Well, I have good friends in Spain who helped me with a lot of the planning. Oh.
There's great Spaniards, yeah.
there are. And thank you for all of your help, Jose, because we wouldn't be able to do it as efficient without El Camino people helping us.
But I guess, you know, probably this is the same for you. Sometimes when you do your own Camino, it's amazing because you get all the stuff for you. But when you do it for others, for me, you know, when I, you know, welcome you into Pamplona, when I see your face on the Camino, when we talk about the group, when I see you again, you know, after 2 years coming back to Pamplona, I'm like, for me, that gives me, you know, sometimes it's just a little selfishness, but it gives me much more that even when I walk the Camino by myself, like seeing people and helping others. And I don't know, in your case, you know, when you walk the Camino for the second time, with the other group of veterans, it was the same way for you.
Yeah. Well, I remember the first time I met you at the train station in Pamplona. You looked at me. We hadn't even started walking yet. You looked at me and you said, "Well, you'll be back."
And I was right.
Yeah. And yeah, I was back 1 year later. I think on the same date, actually, we arrived in Pamplona. So
and how is, you know, the feeling? You were coming from the walking through, you know, the Camino for you to suddenly, you know, leading others into the Camino? How was the step back, you know, and take a look, you know, now and I'm walking for myself and walking for others?
Well, I'm a bit selfish. So I think I am walking for myself, but with a twist. Of course, it's the way I'm raised to look after people, not only on the Camino, but it's just a part of me. I'm always looking at people. How are you doing? See if people, if I see people struggle, I offer my help and stuff like that. So it felt kind of easy to be the one standing in the background and just, but as we do, we let people walk their own Camino, and if they have questions, they can ask them. And if
be there.
Yeah, just be there, ready to help and ready to act if necessary. So
did you see anything that you haven't seen in your first Camino when you were walking your second Camino, something that you'd realize like, wow, or something that you were like, whoa, or?
Yeah, I had a lot. I noticed a lot more about people, how they interact. Because the first time, the first couple of days, you're like, oh, everything is new and stuff like that. So when you get back, you're back in a known world, and it really doesn't matter, I guess, whether you do the French Camino or the Portuguese. The way of doing it is the same. It's just the location that's different. Yeah, so I think I got more out of it the second time, or a lot of things fell into place for me.
And the group was also totally different, your first group from the second group.
Yeah, every group is different because every person is different. So it's another synergy in the group. So it's, but it's just, stay with the flow and let the things develop. And yeah,
that's the beauty of the Camino. I have a friend, he's gonna do his 30th Camino Francés. He's a guide and he did it by biking, and he says, you know, every Camino, even if you walk, you stay, is gonna be totally different. And I think that's the beauty of the Camino, that every Camino is just gonna be so different that you never know what's gonna happen.
No, new day, new experiences, new people. You meet new people every day. Mm-hmm. So and a lot of great stories. So yeah.
And suddenly here you are working 2021, 2022, 2023 again.
Yeah, and next summer my daughter, she's finishing college next summer, and she decided she wants to do the Camino, and she's taken 2 weeks off in her calendar to do it. So I guess I'll have to experience the Portuguese.
So are you gonna do the veterans on the Camino with your daughter way, or is it gonna be a little different?
I think it's gonna be a little different. It's going to be the way she wants to do it. Mm-hmm. I'll be there for her for the first week. And then she can do her own thing, but it's her Camino. I'll just be there for guidance the first couple of days. I guess she wants to hook up with the people her own age, and this old man, he's not interesting anymore after a couple of days.
We'll have to do an interview with the both of you when you finish and see what is the feedback from her.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, but yeah, I'll be back next year. That's for sure.
I know. I told you once, and I think, you know, it's one of the things you were saying. Now, once you walk one, you need it, and it's that kind of like 2 weeks, 1 week, whatever time you can get that gets you back to, you know, connecting. It's kind of like that medicine, no? That is, I think, is the greatest thing. You know, if people need to be hooked to something nowadays, what a better thing to be hooked than the Camino de Santiago.
Yeah, it really is such a great experience. I wouldn't miss it. And yeah, it really gives me that time off I need to like reset just once a year.
And what you know, for people that are listening, you know, maybe they are soldiers, maybe they are people with different kinds of PTSD, or maybe there's just people that are suffering that every day. You know, nowadays I think the biggest struggle that we have is the everyday. You know, for everyone, and when they have their own problems, and we focus so much, sometimes, you know, family, work, business, money, or just life happens. What would you tell them? You know, about the Camino, about your experience.
I think one of the things that really makes the Camino so great is if you're able to like put this one in your backpack, turn it off, so you don't have to put everything out on the social media. Just do it for you, not for everybody else, because that will give you some peace and time to think. Just be you instead of trying to be what you think everybody else is expecting from you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And do that whether you walk a week or you walk 40 days. Stay off social media as much as possible. And just be present. That will make, I think, the biggest impact on you, because it'll give you time to make reflections.
I agree. I think that nowadays, you know, we get so much, you know, heads and voices in our head coming from different points that we don't have time to be with ourselves. And sometimes that's the scariest part of life, you know, to be just with your own self and whatever you're carrying in your backpack, whatever is going on, and the Camino allows you for that. So if you're able to put your Camino, you know, your whatever's going on, your social media, your phone, for, you know, if you are hooked 5 hours a day, maybe just sending a picture to your family is great. So whatever you can do, as much as you can unplug for, that's the beauty of the Camino, no? It gives you time to think, time to be with yourself, and time to be with others that don't expect anything from you, because they are there like you, and they're not going to judge, they're not going to do anything, they're just going to be there.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, get eye contact with a real life person instead of writing to each other all the time. It's great with the phones and all these Messenger, WhatsApp, and stuff like that, because it keeps us connected to friends all over the world. But you really need to put that away also in your daily life, because it just takes too much time.
And also, really, I think, you know, the biggest problem is like it takes time of being with yourself, and because we are scared of, you know, just having time to think, you know, because I think I may go to a dark place, or because I think I'm going to get worried, and just being with social media, talking with someone else, just gets you, you know, busy for the time of the day, or just make you forget. But yeah, I think that's the bit of the Camino. It gives you time to connect with the person that matters most, that is you, and be in their present.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I agree.
So then, for people that is listening, for all those veterans that want to be part of the Camino, what is the process? How they can join you? How they can contact you? What they have to do?
Well, they should visit the website veteransonthecamino.com. Yeah, and once a year there'll be a post that we take in new applicants, and just write a mail, respond to it, and the application form will be mailed to you, and then it's just everything just goes from there. You'll be guided. We take in between 6 and 8 veterans a year to do it. It's a very small program, but yeah.
And also, for people to want to support the program, this is a nonprofit. So if anyone wants to make donations, or, you know, they want to help the program, just the same way, contact Veterans on the Camino, and you can contact Brad, the founder over there.
I actually think on the website there's a link where you can donate. It's been a while since I've visited the page, so yeah. But yeah, it's all funded by donations, so it's a non-benefit. We provide the airfare, backpack, pair of boots for the participants. And once in Spain, they'll get a per diem for 40 days. And that's the time frame we have to walk the French. Yeah.
If you have to say, you know, like your final statement, why people need to go on the Camino, just to finish this, what will you, you know, if you find a veteran, if you find someone that's struggling, someone that needs, you know, a time off, what will you tell him?
Oh, that's a difficult question. Do it for you, because it can be life changing. And if not, you'll get the experience and you'll meet some great people. Yeah. It's a very difficult question, actually.
It's one that can only be answered when you walk the Camino, and that's the trickiest part of the Camino.
Yeah, because I think every person have a different answer to it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but it'll definitely give you the time to think about your situation, whatever it is. Yeah.
Again, thank you so much for, you know, your insights for the Camino. Thank you so much for, you know, taking and providing a safe place for people to go and discover the Camino. You know, for me, being here in Pamplona is one of the things that I love, all the amazing stories of people that go through my town, the amazing stories of people, you know, that the Camino can change or not. I guess we'll come out changed from the Camino, you know, in a little way or in a bigger way, but I think that's the beauty of it. And I hope that we see each other for many years. So as we always say, buen camino, Utrella.
Utrella. I'm pretty sure we're going to meet up again.
I'm sure we will.
Whether it's in Spain or in Denmark.
We'll have to go both places. You know, the Camino is widespread. So there is a Camino in Denmark. So we may have to do a little part of the Camino over there.
Yeah, we can do that in a week.
See you soon. Thank you so much, Thomas.
See you, Jose. Thank you. Bye.